It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 18 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. We're going to be talking about number 62 before we start talking about all things basketball in Southwest Arkansas. Man, we've had some really great performances this week.
We have.
Amazing performances. But number 62, everybody knows the Kelsey brothers. So the older one, Jason.
Yeah, probably a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, even that first ballot, but he will eventually be in the Hall of Fame. Really good offensive lineman for the Philadelphia Eagles, and now he's on about four or five different commercials. He's on more commercials right now than Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he is.
So, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Jim Langer, great offensive lineman, a Hall of Famer for the undefeated Dolphins teams. We've had a couple of those guys show up on this list. Mm-hmm. And then Tunchi Okun, a real good tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, died too young. MS. And was a Steeler announcer for a while, too. Great guy.
All right. You got anything, Tuttle?
Mitch Petras, Razorback, number 62.
There you go.
NFL draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only one I can think of, though.
Yeah, that's all I got, too. That's all I got. Well, let's move on to some basketball then.
Whether you need a hard-working truck, a family SUV, or something built for adventure, your Gary Autoplex has you covered. With Chevrolet, GMC, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, and Chrysler all under one roof, you'll find the right fit for your lifestyle. For over 60 years, Scrapper fans have counted on your Gary to go the extra mile, and they're still doing it today. Your Gary Autoplex, your home for the ride that fits your life.
All right, it's time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers and Scrapperettes. Nashville starting off well, Tony, 2-0 on the year.
Yeah, two pretty impressive victories too.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be hard to handle this year.
Yep, and then Scrapperettes 9-1. They played 10 games already. Played up in the Benton. I don't know if that was a classic or a tournament. You know, they name these things different things.
I think it was probably a classic. It was.
Yeah. And they beat East End, beat Bentonville West, and Benton. So a lot of bigger teams there that the Scrapperettes are playing. They played up all preseason.
They did.
And they'll take on anybody. So, so this week, Scrapperettes only have one game according to the schedule, and that's versus Centerpoint on Tuesday. Boys look like they have three games.
They're going to make up for being eight games behind the girls.
Yeah. Yep. So they got three games, Monday versus Kirby, Tuesday versus Centerpoint along with the girls, and then Thursday versus El Dorado. So big step up in class there too.
Yep.
So, looking forward to seeing what the Scrappers and Scrapperettes do this coming week.
At Hometown Poultry Supply, they're not just equipment dealers. They are poultry growers just like you. They know the struggles. They know the solutions. And they're here to help you succeed. And when trouble hits, they're there for you. 24/7 service, day or night. Find them at 1516 South 4th Street in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. Hometown Poultry Supply. They treat their customers the way they would want to be treated.
It's time to talk about the Mena Bearcats and the Lady Cats. Tony, Mena Bearcats started out slow, but coming on strong now.
Had a good week last week, beat Western Yale, Martinsville, and Pittsburgh. And what was 1-4 is now, 0-4 is now 3-4. And they seem to have got the train on the track. Of course, they've got those football players back now, too, which makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's for sure. Lady Cats just blowing it out. They're 8-0 on the year.
They also beat Western Yale. They beat Detroit. They beat Genoa, and they beat Redwater. According to Scorebook Live, they beat them twice last week. I don't know what's in the water, Redwater. You want to play Mena twice in a week, but go ahead. And they are 8-0 on the year.
Well, that's great. This week, only one game, and that's at Blevins.
Blevins, I saw where they scheduled them for homecoming.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. You're kidding me. Yeah. What are they thinking?
I just do not.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, but not really. I was kidding.
It's something.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's under the umbrella
of interesting. Is that all you got, Tuttle?
For now.
talking about homecoming. Yeah. Okay.
We just wheel him out for insight like that.
Yep, Blevins homecoming. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned
steps up.
You mentioned the Lady Bearcats being 8-0, and I'm just thinking, I don't know if I'd want to host them for my homecoming.
Well, I figure they had that done prior to knowing they were going to be 8-0.
They were probably 0-0 when they scheduled that.
Yeah, probably when they scheduled homecoming. You got to get the dresses and all that stuff. It takes time. Yeah. You know, it's not, you know, can't just change it from one date to the other whenever you want.
That's worse than the Outlaws scheduling the Razorbacks for homecoming.
I think the Outlaws have a better chance, to be honest with you. But we'll see how that goes. Blevins may be an excellent basketball team. But we don't cover them, so we're going to say that Bearcats and Lady Cats are going to whoop up on them.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what we say. All right, let's move on.
CCCUA.edu. That is UA Cossatot's website for you to find out everything you need to know about applying and enrolling, programs of study, how to pay for college, all of their athletics and apparel, student life, community and workforce, and so much more. Your medical education will start here. UA Cossatot has the third highest college graduation rate in the state of Arkansas and is proud to be the first and only Hispanic-serving institution in the state as a member of the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities. We offer degrees and certificates in more than 24 fields and are a leader in implementing more affordable textbook-free courses and boast a variety of professional industry training certifications, small class sizes, low tuition, and quality online and in-class instruction. UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. And by going to cccua.edu, you can find everything you need to know, again, about campus dining and campus maps, the Center for Student Success and Consumer Information, financial aid, textbooks, payments, career pathways, scholarships, and so much more. Find out their vast amount of programs of study on offer, and you can find out how to apply and enroll right from their great website. Check out the Colts gift shop as well, and you can go to uacossatotcolts.com to find out everything you need to know about the Colts, whether it's basketball, soccer, or shooting sports. Any Colts fans can find all the information that they need and merchandise they need on uacossatotcolts.com, and go to cccua.edu today.
Now we're going to move on to the Dirks Outlaws and Lady Outlaws, and we've got the aficionado of all things.
The aficionado. I'm sorry.
He just do not.
That's Jeff Tuttle.
That's right.
That's Jess Tuttle.
That's right. King Tut. What you got for us?
Slow week last week for the Outlaws and Lady Outlaws. They only had one game, both of them taking on Cutter, Morning Star, Eagles. I don't have the final score for some reason of the senior boys game, but they were defeated by the Eagles. And leading the way for the Outlaws was McLean Smith with 7 points. And if your leading scorer's got 7 points,
you didn't score much.
You know you didn't score a lot of points. But, you know, the Outlaws, still young season for them. They got a lot of basketball left to play. Hadn't played as many games as the Lady Outlaws have yet. So Lady Outlaws defeated the Lady Eagles, 75-40 was the score in that one. And I think it really surprised the Lady Eagles. You know, they come into that one. They split last year in the regular season with one win apiece. And the Outlaws jumped on them pretty quick. Savannah Tedford leading the way for the Lady Outlaws with 17 points. Addison Hill following with 15. Miley Harrison, 12, you know. So they had players in double digits. And big win for the Lady Outlaws, as we mentioned. You know, it's a conference game, conference play underway. And the only game they have this week outside of a tournament is on Tuesday night. Both teams host the Cattle Hills Indians, another conference game. So, you know, it's a big game for both teams. Later in the week, we mentioned tournaments and classics. I don't know what y'all's take is on that. I don't like classics. I like a tournament.
Well, they like the classics because they get to play
three. Everybody's guaranteed.
That's right.
You can run a tournament that way, though, too. You know, just have a bracket going the other way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what the – and I'll mention that real quick. The Junior Outlaws and Junior Lady Outlaws both defended their titles and won the Steve Martin Invitational tournament.
That makes Steve so happy.
They do that. There was games all day Saturday. You know, everybody got to play again Saturday. A couple teams didn't want to make the trip, so. But, you know, there was six games, I think. So you can do that in a tournament. I agree.
Yeah.
But the Outlaws travel to Hart's Bluff Senior Boys Tournament, which is Mount Pleasant, Texas. And the Lady Outlaws are headed the other way. They go to Westside Jonesboro for a tournament.
Oh, my goodness.
I will make neither one of those trips. Yeah.
I think you ought to call
because
both
radio
those games.
Radio pay doesn't pay gas for either one of those
oh boy.
Trips.
So well, you came so high tech today. You got the tablet, you got the phone, you got like an Apple Watch, Google Glasses, everything putting you all the stats and stuff. You're just checking everything.
That's all
right?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I forgot to write down stats, so I did bring the tablet.
Today. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With all of those stats I just gave.
So they've got one game this week. Nice. Plus they're going to classics on the opposite ends of the earth.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's classic.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah, it's classic. That's right. Classic AAA. Well,
one's headed to Texas, the other's headed to Tennessee.
Yeah,
almost.
Wow.
Yep, that's right. But at least they're going to be on the west side of Jonesboro. If they went on the east side, that'd be a lot more trouble.
Mm.
I don't know Jonesboro that well.
Me either. Never been there.
Just know.
Yeah.
Pure speculation.
I know it's. I know the west side's closer to here than the east side. Yeah.
I know Hattie's pretty close to up there.
Yeah,
yeah. Tony loves Hattie. There's a place up. There's a lady up there that's wearing a bunch of Marshall gear.
We had the luggage. We were at a hotel in Hattie, Missouri, and had the luggage. Our window busted out, and the luggage stole out of our car. Didn't bother my golf clubs. There were things in there worth taking. She takes our luggage.
Hey, don't you know that they were disappointed? They opened it up. All this is a bunch of Marshall stuff.
I'm taking it anyway.
They run off with it. They get over there.
What?
Well, the hotel calls the police. We're parked in front of a camera that's not working. The hotel calls the police, and the guy says, "Well, this happens all the time."
Oh.
So if you're going through, if you're headed east, going east of Jonesboro. Don't stop in Hattie.
Yeah. And if you see a Denny's waitress decked out in Marshall gear.
Yeah, report to Tony Stowers, care of KDQN Radio. Yeah,
get your eggs over Miami.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else you got on the
Outlaws? We've said enough.
Okay.
Congratulations to both junior hat teams on winning the tournament.
That's great. Congratulations.
Lady Outlaws and Coach, you guys – off to a good start. I mean, you had a good season last year and you were very, very young, so I don't think it's a surprise to anyone, but maybe you've come farther faster than maybe even you thought.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, last year we had a good year and I really didn't expect us to be that good last year. And then at the end, we, got beat in the region and that was a little worse than I thought we should do, but I had a great year. And like I said, a lot of young kids. And so, coming back this year, I think we're a step ahead of where we should be. So I'm proud of them, and they put in a lot of work. So, like I said, that's why I think we're at that spot right now.
Right. Well, you certainly haven't ducked anybody. I was looking at your schedule, your first four or five games. I mean, one of them included Lakeside, I believe, and that's a big school, and you guys have played really well, and. Was that intentional, getting out there and playing some big schools, playing some good teams?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, last year I didn't really think we were as good as we were, so I didn't schedule quite as hard. I mean, we played some good teams down in the stretch, Chris Ferry Westside there at the end, Queen, first game of the year. But, this year I said, going into it, I did this in Norfolk the year that we won it. I said, we need to not try to lose, but we need to schedule hard enough to lose 10 games.
Yeah.
I wanted to have the toughest schedule in 2A, which so far from what I can see, I hadn't seen anybody, that I believe is up there at the
succeeded.
Top. Yeah. Yeah. And I just want the kids to have to meet some adversity and have to battle back in some games or try to beat a team better than them. I told them today at practice that this week's tournament at Jonesboro that we're going to is probably tougher than our 2A state champion, if we were going to try to go win one.
Absolutely.
Green County Tech, 5A, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Final Four last year in 5A.
Yes, they were.
Bergman 3A, who's going to be one of the best teams in 3A. I mean, you're talking about two teams who probably win it in 2A if they're in 2A. So, you know, I think that, that if we can go win that tournament, I'm not sure my head will fit back through the door.
Well, Coach, talk about some of your girls. I know that you got a really good game out of the Tedford girl, who seems to have got all of her athletic ability from her mom. That's what we talked about on the on the podcast this morning. But we love Cody. But talk about some of your girls.
Yeah, you know, like I said, start with Tedford. She's a freshman, you know, and I've moved up freshman every year. I just believe in that. If they can do it, you know, it just advances the program. And so she's my second tallest kid on the team. She can really, really shoot the basketball, probably the best shooter on the team or one of the best. And, you know, as she develops and grows, she's going to get into more than just that. But as of right now, you know, what my team didn't, you know, what we struggled with at the end of the year last year is just having somebody that could knock down some shots. And we have that now. So, you know, she's long, she's lanky, she kind of fits right into our system. She's super smart. But yeah, definitely got all of her athletic abilities and her skills from her mom. Absolutely.
And I know that she's getting a lot of help as well.
Yeah. And she is, you know, we got several good sophomores, you know. Last year I moved up a freshman, which was Miley and Addison. Both of those are, you know, Addison's probably my best player and extremely gifted and doing really well. And then you've got Miley, who I moved up as a freshman, who's doing well. She had her best game the other night. And then the two that I didn't move up, I had two more freshmen that I didn't move up. And we went undefeated in junior high, and that's Kaylin Coulter, big girl, and then Presley Pugh, who can really shoot it. So, you know, on top of what I had last year, I add in three girls that can really score the basketball, and that's what we needed. You know, our offense last year was not near as good. Our defense was pretty good, but our offense wasn't good enough. So,
right.
And then, you know, Riley Simmons at point guard, and Lily and Aspen, all three of those seniors were really going to miss. They bought in. This is their third year under me, so they know what I want. They know what I expect. They're just rolling. And then, you know, Rayleigh is a junior. So yeah, I've got nine girls, and it sucks for some teams because when we play, you know, I can't really call the dogs off. I mean, I don't have my 1 through 9 can all play. Actually, I start 1 through 9. Well, I start, yeah. Addison starts both ways, but then I start four other girls. I start four girls if we're playing man, and I start four girls if we're playing zone right now. So
good problem to have.
Yeah, it's a problem. It is a problem, but nonetheless, it's a good problem.
Yeah.
So,
well, Coach, we're excited about your all start and what you guys could accomplish this season. I'm looking forward to getting to see you all a little later in the year, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yes, sir.
You have a great day, and go Outlaws.
Thank you.
Jobs.pilgrims.com. That is the website to go to see everything that Pilgrims offers in the way of careers. The leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. As one of the world's largest poultry producers and a fully integrated pork producer, Pilgrims has provided wholesome quality products to customers and consumers for more than 7 decades. And they have over 58,000 team members, taking great pride in providing more than 133 million daily servings of protein to retailers, restaurants, food service providers, and consumers around the world. The company includes 39 production facilities and 27 prepared food facilities in 14 states, the UK, Puerto Rico, Mexico, and Europe. Pilgrims is proud to partner with more than 4,900 family farms for poultry and over 6,300 family farms for hog and lamb supplies. Their vision guides everything they do to be the best and the most respected company in the industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for their team members. I'm talking hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, human resources, sales and marketing, accounting and finance, professional opportunities. If you think you could be an asset to the company, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com and even check out their benefits, better futures, insurance, growth, There is no better company to take ownership of your career growth than JBS. Explore the opportunities for development with a global food company. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development learning program offerings, online learning, and ad hoc courses. 401ks. With your 401k, they offer company match, long-term tax benefits, investment options, and geographic flexibility. And, of course, paid holidays and time off. So all of your benefits taken care of, your career taken care of, absolutely amazing. And that's not even to get into their community action that they take here, right here in Southwest Arkansas and all over. Whether it's community events, fundraisers, you can always see pilgrims participating in some form or fashion, whether it's providing chicken for fundraisers and just so much more. They're always a huge member of the community. They employ so many people here, and it's a perfect fit for our podcast. Of course, we love having pilgrims on. It makes total sense, and they're big supporters of all the local sports in the area, always big supporters of our radio station and everything. So we're so appreciative to have them on board. And if you're interested in joining their team, you should go to jobs.pilgrims.com.
It's time to talk about the Costot River Eagles and Lady Eagles. Costot lost to Kirby last week, Tony, and then Lady Eagles had two games. They beat Kirby, then lost to Genoa.
It's a big win for them to beat Kirby.
Yeah. Kirby, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think that, this week they play Mansfield and Cedarville, both at home. So you got two opportunities to see them at home this week, which is a great thing. Anything you got to add to that?
No, Coach Barrett, always the optimist, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He needs to be my life coach.
That's right. Well,
to their advantage, Mansfield football players won't be suited up for basketball.
That is a great point.
Now it's time for my favorite segment of the show, and that is the awards segment, where we're able to give out awards of a variety of different categories every single week. So let's get to it.
All right, we're going to start off with the awards by talking about the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week. And, Tony, that's going to be?
It's going to be Heavenly Pickens having a great sophomore year for the Lady Leopards.
All right, moving on, the Domtar Panther Player of the Week.
Going to be Amari Spencer from the Panthers.
The Horatio State Bike Lion Player of the Week.
Aaliyah Ayers, she was in double figures both games for the Lady Lions this week.
The Stillwell's Restaurant's Legacy Player of the Week is going to be?
Manolo Vasquez. He had 42 points in two games.
Right, and the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
Going to be Katie Dotson. She was also in double figures both games this week. And stay tuned on the if you're a Gator fan.
Yeah, the Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week.
Going to be Ava Basilier. She had a really good classic at Benton over the weekend.
Shelter Insurance Todd Moore Agency Outlaw Player of the Week will be?
Going to be Savannah Tedford, who got all of her athletic ability from her mom.
Union Bank of Mena Bearcat Player of the Week.
Going to be Abram Wooden for the Mena Bearcats, who's kind of turned the corner.
The Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week will be?
Going to be Caleb Odele for the Eagles.
Toad Thumper Lures, now we're moving on to the area awards. The Toad Thumper Lures Girls Player of the Area will be?
It's going to be Lindley Ligon. She had 18 points in two contests last week.
And the Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Area is going to be?
Going to be Bo Bell from Nashville, a guy that you're going to hear a lot more of as the season goes on. Big game versus Monticello.
All right, now we're ready for the Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area.
Well, that's going to be Hayden Easter.
I don't know why. Why?
Well, he only scored 94 points last week and had 18 rebounds.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
When we heard about this, I think we may have been over at Broken Bow. I'm not sure. He said, we got to get his shirt sized.
I was probably at Broken Bow, too, at a different place.
We were all in McCurtain County when we heard.
But congratulations to Hayden Easter. What a game, or two games, actually. But, he had 50, so he only had 40 points in one game.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, 54 and one. 40 in another.
That's how you fast track. I didn't score that.
Yeah, I didn't score that many points in my career.
They're going to have Hayden's 1,000-point ceremony sometime in February.
But it was, you know, mine was a little slanted because they didn't have the 3-point line then.
Yeah,
yeah. So I may have had a couple of more points if I had that.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I guess he's the GOAT now.
I bet you he's the GOAT down there for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, outstanding week, young man.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to Hayden Easter. You know, and we look forward to hearing about what he's going to do in the future because that's just crazy good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Let's look at now we got one more thing to do, the Queen Motorsports Game of the Week, and we're going to go with
it's going to be the Queen Leopards traveling to Acorn, and should be two good ball games, Greg.
I really think it will be, and looking forward to that. So that's all the awards in the Game of the Week.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West right here in DeQueen. Give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets, and you can schedule your appointment today or ask any questions that you might need. And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule your appointment or ask any questions with Ashdown Veterinary Clinic as well. Martin Veterinary Services has been a proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air since the very beginning, and we appreciate them so much for that, and not only that, what they do for the community, and that is offer high quality veterinary services to everybody here, whether it's just simple stuff, spaying and neutering, or medications, checkups and things like that, down to more serious things. You can trust Martin Veterinary Services to take care of you, and don't just take my word for it. There are a ton of good reviews on Google and across the board. You can check out their Facebook page as well, DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and hundreds of reviews, all 5 stars, and you know, you always need to be able to trust the person that you're taking your pets to, and Martin Veterinary Services is the one. I have used them for multiple occasions, whether it's with my dogs or my cats, and they've been an absolute delight. Such a blessing to have them in this community offering these services. So we appreciate them so much, and you can go to DeQueen Animal Hospital or Ashdown Veterinary Clinic today for all your veterinary needs. And that about wraps up all the high school sports for the area. Let's give our thoughts on some more national topics, and this is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned.
All right, guys, what do y'all want to talk about?
Well, Razorbacks had a big week.
They did have a big week.
Yeah.
Are you talking about basketball or overall?
Basketball.
Basketball was a big week. Got to go Wednesday to watch them beat Louisville 89-80. Great game by them.
The Palace was rocking.
It was full, and it was loud.
Did you hear it swaying? Did you feel it?
No, I didn't feel it swaying, but I was way down at the bottom.
I tell you, sometimes you're in those upper decks.
Yeah.
That was a Steeler playoff game back when they played at Three Rivers, and they were playing, I believe it was the Browns in a playoff game, and you could literally feel the upper deck moving.
Did they do Renegade then? Or is that something new?
They've done Renegade.
Okay, I didn't know.
Probably since Renegade come out.
Yeah.
But I think after that last week, not this week, but last week, Styx took it back, said not going to do Renegade anymore.
Now it's just Mr.
Now they look better this week than they did against the Bills, but man, they stunk last week.
Oh, that'll come later in this discussion, huh?
But man, the Razorbacks, and then they go out, and you would, I mean, just me being a Arkansas, my third favorite team fan, I would expect to go out and kind of be flat against Fresno. They were not flat against Fresno. They beat the dog out of them, 82-58, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's a big, good week for Razorbacks.
Yeah, it was. You know, I really think it was a good week for Arkansas football, too. Of course, you know, I guess it was Sunday. They hired, a week ago, they hired Ryan Silverfield from Memphis. And, you know, he hit the ground running.
He did.
Now, you know, of course, Juracek was too busy to have a press conference for him until Thursday.
Well, you guys are going to start listening to me because, one, I told you that it was very possible that Petrino would lose all his games close, which is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the day after or the podcast after,
they fired Pittman. I told you, man, if I was picking the guy, this would be one of the guys that would be up on my list. And then we kind of didn't hear about him for a long time, and I kind of thought he would have been forgotten. And then he comes back around to be their coach. I think it's a great hire.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think he's doing well. He's got a lot of the Arkansas in-state players coming to Arkansas now, which I think is good.
Got his coordinators in place.
Yep. So,
well, I saw on Rex Nelson's page where he had showed up at the North Little Rock game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's this kind of stuff you've got to do if you're the head coach of the Razorbacks.
Yeah, and I also, the one thing he's got to do is find some NIL money.
Yeah.
Still, say that.
But somebody got him off to a good start, because the rumor is he met with somebody for 5 minutes and they wrote a 7-figure check. So maybe he's the guy that can maybe loosen some of the pocketbooks.
I'd like to meet with that guy that wrote that check.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of minutes. I don't need 5 minutes.
Would you give him a sob story?
Absolutely. My whole life's a sob story.
Oh, you could be a Lifetime special movie or something like that. The Jeff Total story.
If he wrote me a check.
Maybe a documentary on Netflix.
If he wrote me a check, we'd make it a Hallmark Christmas miracle movie. This will make the bloopers real.
Yeah. Hey, moving on to UK basketball. They're 5-3.
Yeah, we usually don't talk about them, but no. Man, this week they got, and I know you're a big Gonzaga fan,
yep.
They got the stuffing beat out of them by the Bulldogs, 94-59. And DeMarcus Cousins, an old Wildcat, comes out and says, this team is heartless.
You know what my question about that is?
What's that?
I wonder if he's even watched a game.
Well, who knows, but he was fired up.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked at the score, you know, and somebody asked him about it. And they're not playing very well right now. I watched that Gonzaga game. And I just think that I hope they don't play well.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me if they went 3-30. That'd be about right for them, don't you think, Tuttle?
I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. But hey, let's talk about the college football playoffs. It's in place now.
Yeah, it is.
Wait a minute, everybody, you got your tissue? Let's wipe the tear away for Notre Dame.
Yeah, I asked you guys when we come in, so we've already talked about it, who's the best team that Notre Dame beat this season? And it's between two teams, right?
Yep.
It's between USC and Pitt. You don't have an argument, guys. Beat somebody. Schedule somebody and beat them. When the best team you beat this season is a Pitt team that's got run out of two or three stadiums this year, you don't have an argument. Just shut up.
Well, they did score on Syracuse and Arkansas like the Easter's kid from Foreman in basketball.
That is a true statement.
Well, I was at the Notre Dame-Arkansas game, and I'm going to tell you, I could have hit some of those guys with passes. Greg could have hit it. Matter of fact, Greg could have been running the route, and I could have hit him with a pass the way Arkansas played pass defense.
I think I told y'all, like, after that game, that's the only game I can ever remember watching on TV and turning off. Your old Razorback. I usually stick with them. I didn't finish that one.
Neither did we.
It was good.
We stayed longer than we should have.
Yeah, we did. We got to see the gold helmets.
But it didn't convince me that Notre Dame should be in the playoffs.
We decided we'd go to IHOP. Do what?
And so it didn't convince me that Notre Dame should be in the playoffs.
No.
So what do you think about them putting Alabama in with three losses?
Well, you know, and that's where you get into the controversy about conference championship games. Should you be penalized for them? I've heard arguments on both sides of that. You know, the thing is, Texas A&M was better off not playing in the conference championship game. Ole Miss was better off not. Ole Miss is probably out of the playoff if they play in the conference championship game and get beat, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think they got to make up their mind. What's our policy going to be on conference championship games?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say something that I hadn't heard discussed. You know who has a gripe? BYU.
Yeah.
I mean, their two losses are to the number three seed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they lost to them twice.
Yeah.
That's their losses.
In pretty stunning fashion.
They got waylaid both times.
Well, that's what my point would be about Alabama. You know, if they played them to a touchdown or less ball game in that conference championship game, I would feel differently about them as a three-loss team going in than I do.
But if you take out Alabama, who do you put in?
BYU.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know that.
What about Texas?
I'm not ever going to put Texas in anywhere. Just so you know.
Greg's not going to put Texas out of their own fire.
I think we talked about this last week, and I think when you look at Texas, their losses, some of their wins are what keeps them out.
Yeah.
An overtime win against Mississippi State, an overtime win against Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, barely beating those two teams, which, you know, Kentucky's coach got fired.
But they had some good wins.
They
beat A&M.
They did. But that, and if you're going to put your whole bag on that, okay.
But I'm saying they beat a better team than Notre Dame did.
Yeah, they did beat a better team than Notre Dame did, but Notre Dame also didn't lose three games.
No. If they played Texas' schedule, they probably would have.
Yeah, probably.
Have we even mentioned what Notre Dame's decided to do?
Oh, man, that's it's not surprising. It's probably the beginning of the end for the bowl games. It would not surprise me if somewhere down the road, whether I'm alive or not, depends, but that they start playing bowl games to start the year, like kickoff classics, and not at the end of the year. Because, you know, everybody's playing. You know, you just have, I don't know how many bowl games there are now, you have 40 kickoff classics in different places instead of 40 bowl games.
And, you know, some of the people trying to defend them, and for anybody that doesn't know, they've elected not to play in a bowl game because they were left out of the college football playoff.
They're pouting.
They're going to punish ESPN by not giving them Notre Dame money. My answer to that is playing a bowl game is on TBS. They have them too.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right. They're spoiled, right. And they're pouting.
I think there's one that maybe NBC still has, like the Sun Bowl or something like that. So yeah, they're not all.
I think it's CBS.
CBS, yeah. You know, they're not all owned by ESPN.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but I'm like Greg. I really feel bad for the Irish. Not
coaching hire at Penn State.
Yeah. What about that? You fire James Franklin to hire Matt Campbell? Crazy, man. And I think Penn State thought that they would be the best destination on the board. And I think they got fooled. And I think that they're going to pay the price for that.
But, you know, on the Matt Campbell side of it, that's win-win for him.
Oh, yeah. You can't blame him.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they offered me the Penn State job, I'd have probably went too. So,
but what if they offered you the West Virginia job?
No.
So let me ask you this question. On the college football playoffs, you got anybody you think got the better draw out of the deal or anything?
Oh, the top
like that?
Of the bracket is so much easier. Uh-huh. Look at the top of the bracket. It's Alabama, Oklahoma. The winner gets Indiana. JMU, Oregon. The winner gets Texas Tech. Okay? And then the three versus the three, whoever comes out of that gauntlet, will play each other in the semifinals. But the bottom of the bracket is Tulane, Ole Miss, Georgia, Miami, Texas A&M, and Ohio State. You got Georgia and Ohio State on the same end of the bracket. That's the loaded bracket, y'all think?
And yeah, absolutely. And I think Oklahoma got a bad draw by playing Alabama. They've already defeated them once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here you have to have a rematch with them, and everybody says.
If I'm JMU, I'm jumping up and down. I think this is a great draw for them. You know, now you got to go all the way across the country, and Oregon may lay it on them. I don't know, but of all those possible destinations for JMU at Oklahoma, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M, I'd want to play Oregon. What about you guys?
Well, I think the toughest first round game is Miami at Texas A&M.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean that because I think Miami's a better team than, you know, they lost a couple of games, but I still think they're a good football team.
I think, yeah. I told y'all about week 5 or 6 that I thought they were the best team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I had to back away from that because I think they lost 2 in a row, but they're going to be a tough draw.
But they didn't win the ACC.
And didn't win
Duke
the ACC.
Did.
Which allowed James Madison in.
That's exactly right.
The only way they
there
got
was
in.
No bigger Duke fan the other night than me.
Yeah,
because I knew James Madison was going to wear Troy out, which they did.
But you really thought that I bet that James Madison would get the screws put to him.
I thought that they would put Duke ahead of James Madison in the polls. Duke would come out of nowhere at 7-5 and be ranked ahead of James Madison, who's 11-1.
Yeah. I bet there was a bigger Duke fan. Dick Vitale. Oh, wait, wrong sport.
Well, anyway,
who do y'all think is going to win? We'll do first round. Who are you picking? You picking all the home teams? That hasn't worked out very well in the college football playoffs so far. The home teams, I bet you the home teams have a losing record in the college football playoff.
Well, we're going to pick them right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll pick the first round.
I'm taking Alabama.
I'm taking Oklahoma at home.
Tyler,
who you taking, man?
He was asleep.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
All right. So that's the wrong one for me. All right. The James Madison Dukes at Oregon.
Oregon.
I'm going to give you all a chance. I'm going to take James Madison.
Okay.
Because I'm going to win that first one. Tulane at Ole Miss.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go out on a limb. That's going to be a really good football game, huh?
I'm taking Tulane.
Yeah, I'm tempted to.
Ole Miss, it doesn't matter who's coaching.
Nice. I'm going Ole Miss, too.
I'm going to go Ole Miss, but just barely. Miami at Texas A&M, and I agree with Greg, this is the best game of the four.
Texas A&M.
I'm taking Miami.
And I am a Hurricanes fan, by the way.
What was the guy's name, the red-haired guy on Miami CSI?
Oh, yeah.
Horatio.
Caruso.
Yeah.
David Caruso
played Horatio Caine.
That's who should be coaching
Miami
Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I'm old enough, I remember him from NYPD Blue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm going with that cult in Texas A&M.
Me too.
Nice.
All right. We've got our predictions. We didn't say we were putting anything on it, so I guess we're not.
The things we put things on, we never did. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true.
I think y'all paid up one time. Never paid up. Well, okay. It's who I am.
You got to go with your strength.
That's right. Yeah. So you want to talk about pro football for a minute?
Oh, absolutely want to talk about pro football.
Well, I don't. So let's go. We'll see you next week.
I am Mark safe from hearing from all the talking heads that the Cincinnati Bengals are still in the playoff hunt at 4-9. I'm telling you what, those guys, man, they just go crazy on stuff. Like the Bengals are going to rattle off 5 or 6 wins in a row with that defense.
Yeah. Well, I think they're just trying to. All they're doing is trying to create interest. I think they go into production meetings and go,
Tony Stowers mad?
Yeah.
Other than the officiating at Broken Bow.
They don't care what makes you mad.
If they want to create interest with the Bengals, they should just make them wear those white helmets every time. With the black.
You like those, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And to a lesser extent, because the Cowboys are still alive. But they were doing the same thing with the Cowboys. Oh, the Cowboys are back. They beat the last two Super Bowl champions. And then they go out and.
Well, Detroit's a good football
team. They are a good football team.
Yeah, and
but they were on the schedule back when they were saying they're still in the hunt.
Yeah, I know. But when they said that, they also said that they had a lot of good football teams they had to play.
Yeah.
They did say that. And there's no way Dallas makes the playoffs. I mean,
with the NFC stacked.
Yeah.
In the AFC, they'd be in it.
Yeah,
Talking about the NFC, I saw something, and I'm not convinced this is true because I'm not a mathematical guy. But with the Packers beating the Bears,
are you an entrepreneur?
The Bears went from the number one seed to the number seven seed
in one week. Yeah, in 1 week. That tells you about the NFC right there. And what's the Bears' record? Have they lost 3 now or 4?
4, I believe.
Yeah,
I believe they're 8-4.
The Bears are the 7 seed, and they've lost 4 games.
They're 8-4, and the Packers went to 8-3-1.
Yeah. So.
So that tie against Dallas helped them out then.
I don't know. You know what helped them out? Being atop the NFC North.
Yeah. but you know, I think the Steelers are going to win by default. Because every team in that division is trying to give it away, even including the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers are trying to give it away.
Yeah,
everybody's in the giving spirit in the AFC North.
I got a Steelers question for you that I don't think we've talked about.
All right.
What about Big Ben going public and saying he thought the head coach, you know, should probably give it up? And
I love Mike Tomlin, but I feel the same way.
University of Pittsburgh, you know, was his suggestion.
Well, I think Mike Tomlin is going to be in the NFL next year, but he's not going to be coaching the Steelers. And he's still under contract, so I don't know how they work that out. If somebody gives them some draft compensation for him or something like that, they're not going to fire Mike Tomlin.
You could tell that Roethlisberger had nothing but respect for him.
Yes.
You know, he just
but it's
he
just,
said he thought
yeah,
it
sometimes
would kind of
it's just time. It's just time. You're and it that could happen to anybody. Your message gets a little stale and maybe you get a little comfortable or whatever.
I'll tell you, stale, they're players. That's why he's having trouble.
That's why they're stale.
That's right.
like 3 week old bread.
Rodgers' touchdown yesterday was his first rushing touchdown since 21. Is that what they said?
Yeah. But Greg's exactly. And here's the deal: the Steelers play the Dolphins next week at home, a game they should win easily. But they could Steeler it around and get beat, and the Ravens right back in it.
Yeah.
But the Ravens play at Cincinnati, and the Steelers could beat the Dolphins. The Ravens lose to Cincinnati, and then the Steelers have a 2-game lead with 3 games to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is more likely to happen.
Yeah. I wish I agreed.
I think, those warm weather teams, when they go north at this time of year, they don't play well. Not usually.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think the Steelers are probably going to wrap that up.
And you talked about Cincinnati's defense, but that offense, I mean, with Burrow and the receivers, you know, Higgins and Chase.
But they're spending so much money on one side of the ball that it's just you don't have to have the best offense and you don't have to have the best defense, but you better have some of both.
They need to have a 5-minute conversation with that NIL guy.
Yeah. I don't understand the Steelers' philosophy going all in on defense, especially old defense. And I don't understand the Bengals' philosophy of going all in on offense and not having any defense. And if you believe what you read online, that Trey Hendrickson, who's probably their best defensive player, he's out of there. He's gone. So I don't know, man. I'll tell you, Patrick Queen proved his worth.
Mm-hmm.
Against his old team yesterday. They picked him as the, you know, the Steelers picked the game ball, and they gave it to him, and he had a heck of a game yesterday against the Ravens.
Well, that was a huge win for them.
It was. To beat them at Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they play the Ravens again the last game of the year, but it's in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers could have it wrapped up by then, or they could be a game behind, but it is in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
What's the Steelers' record right now?
7-6.
So they're going to get – he's not going to have a losing season.
If they beat the Dolphins, they go to 8-6. If they get to 8-6, they'll surely get to 9. So I would say right now it's more likely than not that he'll keep that streak alive.
That's pretty amazing anyway.
Mm. Well, and I try to tell about my son, my youngest son, my godson, huge Steeler fans. And I'm in a thread with them while these games are going on. And they're just all over Tomlin. And I'm saying, guys – look, I'm 60. I'll be 61 Wednesday, and I really couldn't tell you what a terrible season feels like. The most games the Steelers have lost since I've been following football, which would be 71, 72. I mean, the least wins they've had is like 6. I mean, I just don't know what it is to have a horrible year, and Steeler fans are spoiled rotten. They just are. And my two boys are among those that are spoiled rotten to think we got to be in the Super Bowl every year. That's not the way it works. Not in the NFL. It's not like the Yankees, who can go out and spend as much money as they want and get everybody.
Sounds like they could also root for Notre Dame.
They do not root for Notre Dame. They root for the herd.
I did find it interesting yesterday that the Bears coach, I can't even think of his name right now, you know, they asked him before the game earlier in the week what he thought about the NFC North. And he was running down the list of teams and said it was great that he could beat LaFleur twice a year. That didn't work out for him.
Well, I'm going to tell you something else about the NFC North. The Minnesota Vikings are the best last place team in
absolutely
football. Oh, my lands. The Minnesota Vikings would make the playoffs in the AFC.
Yeah. Crickets. Crickets.
I don't know if anybody – I agree with you, Tony. I agree.
Not in my head. Everybody listening can't see
that.
You watch the Vikings. They pass the eye test, man.
Hmm. Yeah, they got a good –
but they've got two games with the Packers. They got two games with the Bears. They got two games with the Lions. Plus, all their out-of-division games.
Well, you know, and I talked about how strong the NFC North was last year, and that was with the Bears –
being terrible.
A bad team.
Yeah.
And now this year, everybody's playing ball.
Yep. Hmm.
Well, so – talking just a little bit about this real quickly, looks like the AFC will have a new participant in the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure City's not going to be there.
I think last night probably put the stake in their heart.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I
broke up about it.
Yeah.
What was the final score?
I can't remember.
I quit watching it when the Chiefs went forward on fourth down from their own 20 with the game tied.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I turned it off.
Yeah. And didn't run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, analytics, I don't get to see all the analytics that they do, but you're telling me it's fourth and one, you're on your own 20, the game's tied, and you try to throw the football.
Yeah.
The interesting thing to me is the Patriots fans that migrated to the Chiefs, are they going to migrate back to the Patriots now?
Well, the Patriots are doing pretty good. They might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like 11-2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that the bandwagon fan, the Chiefs have had the bandwagon fans for a while. The Patriots had them for a long time. And now they're about to migrate back over to the Patriots.
Well, as long as Taylor Swift's there, I'm going to still watch them.
Talking about the analytics, I was thinking about this. I believe it may have been the NBC game where they put that up there, like fourth and four, 60% of people would go for it, you know.
Or should.
And I'm thinking, that could just be me sitting there saying that. You don't have to believe that.
Let me tell you what. They need another analytic that says, what would Chuck Noll do? I'm going to tell you what Chuck Noll do. He kicked the field goal every time.
Yeah.
Fourth and one from the two, Chuck Noll would kick a field goal. And, you know, how many times do teams chase points that they miss out on? You know, Jay and I talk about this in the football broadcast. A team will miss an extra point early in the game, and they'll go for two the rest of the ball game trying to make up for that missed point.
Mm.
And they end up missing out on a touchdown because they failed on 3 2-point plays.
Mm. I watched the Greenwood-Shiloh game the other night, championship game. And, you know, when Greenwood –
poor little Greenwood.
When Greenwood was still in it, you know, they took a extra point off the board and went for two. Now, they converted it. But, you know, it was still a game at that time. Y'all realize
that broke my heart.
Greenwood's dropping down to 5A next year.
Well, that's what
that's what we hear.
That's what we hear.
Yeah. Shiloh is moving up to 7A. I can't think of any team that's ever jumped that many classifications. You know, I watched them in a 2A championship game a few times.
Yeah.
And they'll be 7A next year.
Yeah. That is crazy. I ain't going to tell you that I was disappointed that Greenwood got beat.
The only thing that disappoints me is that Shiloh won.
The only thing that disappoints me,
very well
it wasn't 170-50.
Very well said.
I still think those private schools recruit and cheat and they do whatever they can and I just
allegedly.
Well, that's when I said I think that meant allegedly.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. It's trying to protect everybody.
What about
here?
The Lakeside game? Did y'all watch any of that?
I did.
They're in y'all's conference.
They
right?
are. You know. Of the four teams that went from our conference, probably the least athletic team, but for sure, in my mind anyway, the best coach team. And those young men are to be commended because...
Is Robinson in y'all's conference too?
No.
No, okay. It was
Park. They used to be in Nashville.
Okay. Hot Springs, Lakeside, and Fairview were the four that from our conference that made it. All very athletic, but Lakeside definitely the least athletic of those four.
And speaking of champions, an old Leopard football coach, Van Pascal, got a championship with Cross County.
I was trying to decide where I knew that name from.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
But I knew I recognized the name.
Yeah. He was here for a while. And interesting because EPC, they dominated them during the regular season. They've been there 2 years in a row and lost both years.
Well, and you know, if you'd have asked me 3 weeks ago who the who that championship game would be between, that 2A championship game. Well, it would have definitely been EPC and Junction City.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I'd have had Mount Ida and Junction City in a rematch.
Which would you?
I think in regular season was
Joe
like
Blaze
a one
Bush
would
have liked that.
Was like a like a 1 point game in regular season, but yeah, I mean those two teams they knocked off some heavyweights to get there.
Yeah. Yep.
They did. Anything else y'all want to talk about before we go for the week?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it.
Yeah, UFC, a guy broke his arm and the other guy won. Yeah.
Did he rip it off and beat him over the head with it?
No, he just fell down and broke it.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah. So, but, you know, something that is really huge in the UFC world.
Huge.
No more pay-per-views.
Yes.
You just have a subscription to Paramount Plus and you get it all.
Yep. And Landman.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I'm like a Paramount Plus of aficionado or something like that.
I love Landman.
Yeah.
Hey, man, get off my land. Every week. There's a new man on this guy's land.
Yeah. Billy Bob Thornton plays that role, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He's a pretty good actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is really good. But anyway.
He don't talk about putting mustard on biscuits, does he?
No, not
in that one. You don't want to hear what he's talking about. Yeah.
He was a good high school coach down there at Odessa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Where's my car crash at?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's time for us to go.
Yeah.
I just want to thank all our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate you. We thank all the coaches, play-by-play guys, everybody that gets us information. And if you want to give us more, we're always willing to take that too.
Yep.
But most of all, we thank the kids.
If you think we're undercover in your team, get in touch with us. We'd love to get a text or listen to what you got to say.
That's right. Most of all, we appreciate the kids. That's who we do it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.